A few weeks ago, Scottie Scheffler, the number one golfer in the world, sat down in a press conference on the eve of one of the biggest tournaments of the year, the British Open. Scottie had won 6 out of his last 10 starts. He's the greatest athlete in golf currently. He has the trophy shelf, the bank account, the new baby, the fans' adoration, the headlines. And yet, when someone asked him what it felt like to be on top of the world, he paused, and then he said, "It feels like you work your whole life for these moments, and then they only last a few minutes. You win, and you're on to the next thing. You eat dinner, you move on, and sometimes, honestly, I just don't understand the point." Let that sink in for a second. This wasn't a man who'd failed, someone who was bitter because things hadn't worked out. This was the guy at the top. He got everything he wanted. He reached the pinnacle of success. He earned millions upon millions of dollars, and he's asking, what's the point? But don't so many of us fall into this sort of thinking at times? I know there are moments when I do. We think, once I get the house, the raise, the retirement fund, once the kids are settled, once the chaos ends, once I get there. Friends, this is called the myth of arrival. It's the illusion that just around the corner we'll be secure, we'll be at peace, we'll finally feel fulfilled. Ecclesiastes is this strange, beautiful, haunting book in the Old Testament. The author of the book is identified in the beginning as the teacher, the son of David, the king in Jerusalem. Now that's a pretty unmistakable profile of King Solomon, Israel's wisest, richest, most powerful man. He's standing at the end of his life, looking back over all of it and saying, "Vanity of vanities, everything is vanity." Or in today's language, it's all smoke and mirrors. You try to grab onto it, but it's always just out of reach. Just like Scottie Scheffler, Solomon had it all, power and wealth and influence and accomplishment and wisdom. If anyone should have felt like they'd arrived, if anyone should have felt like they'd achieved all they wanted, it was him. And yet he looks back over his palaces and his success and his carefully crafted image, and he says something that sounds to me remarkably like Scottie Scheffler's declaration. "Sometimes, honestly, I just don't understand the point. Vanity of vanities, everything is vanity." This myth of arrival isn't something new. It's ancient and it's universal. In his book, The Road to Character, David Brooks writes, "Success is always passing. It's always a mirage, slightly out of reach. It's a temporary burst of applause that very soon fades." And yet so many of us believe that when we finally achieve whatever it is that we're striving to achieve, then we will finally be fulfilled. But if it didn't work for Scottie Scheffler, and it didn't work for Solomon, why do we think it'll work for us? There was this great hole-in-the-wall restaurant I used to go to. It had this sign in the window. It said, "Free beer tomorrow." The first time you go, you think, that's great. And then you come back the next day, same sign, "Free beer tomorrow." And eventually you realize it's always tomorrow. But I think that's how a lot of us live. Peace, that can wait for tomorrow. Purpose, that can wait for tomorrow. Joy, rest, that can wait for tomorrow. And if we're not careful, we'll spend our whole lives waiting for the free beer that was never actually on tap. We may not say it out loud, but deep down, I think so many of us live by a script like this. We think, once I get through this season, once we pay off the debt, once the kids are older, once the house is fixed, once the schedule clears up, then I'll finally be able to breathe. Then I'll be happy. Then I'll feel complete. In her book, The Gifts of Imperfection, Brené Brown writes, when we're waiting for the perfect moment, when the kids are grown, when we lose 10 pounds, when we retire, we're actually missing our lives. I think this is so true spiritually. We can live with a sort of spiritual deferral, pushing purpose and joy down the road as if we're waiting for some future version of our lives where everything will finally make sense and will finally feel fulfilled. But the problem is that future version of your life is always going to be just outside your grasp. As long as you're living for someday, you're missing what God has placed right in front of you this day, today. We may tell ourselves things like, once I have more free time, then I'll start volunteering. Or we'll say, once I finish paying off my student loan debt, then I'll begin being more generous with my financial resources. In the gospel passage we just heard, some people called upon Jesus to settle a family dispute, to ensure some inheritance was fairly split. But Jesus doesn't settle the dispute. Instead, he says, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. And then Jesus tells a story about a man who had a great year. His fields produced so much that he's going to have to build more barns to hold everything. And then he tells himself, I can say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. Do you hear it? He thinks he's finally arrived. And then God shows up and says, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you've prepared, whose will they be? This really is a heartbreaking parable, because this man wasn't evil, he wasn't a tyrant, he wasn't a thief. He just wanted to get there, to be safe, to finally relax. But here's what Jesus is telling us. This man spent his whole life saving up for a future that never arrived. He was so busy preparing to live that he never actually lived. And then there's the punchline. Jesus says, so it is with those who store up for themselves treasures, but are not rich toward God. That phrase, rich toward God, is where the whole parable turns. It isn't Jesus just giving financial advice. He's inviting us into a different relationship with God, into seeing life a completely different way, a life where peace doesn't come from what you can hold in your hands, but where peace is found in the one who holds you in his hands. A life where we can grow spiritually rich right here, right now, today. The Jesuit theologian Jean-Pierre de Caussade wrote, the present moment is always full of infinite treasures. It contains more than you have the capacity to hold. To be satisfied with the present moment is to delight in and to love the will of God. This is a beautiful declaration that God is not waiting for us in the next thing, the next day, the next week. God is present with us now. And yet this is so hard for us to remember. Early in my ministry, I worked with another Episcopal priest. I remember he pulled me aside one day and he said, we're going to have to restructure the staff. It'll be a big push, some long days, hard work, but once we get through this, then it'll be smooth sailing. I nodded, and I worked hard over the next several months. And then he decided we needed to restructure how our committees work. And then it was the annual budget, and then it was the vestry, and then it was the building maintenance plan, and it went on and on and on. Each time, the promise of a big push, and then smooth sailing. Eventually, I figured it out. There's no such thing as a time when we will eventually arrive, when the stress will all disappear, when the path will stay flat, when the winds will always be at our backs. Life doesn't work that way. Parenting doesn't work that way. Church doesn't work that way. Marriage doesn't work that way. Nothing worth doing works that way. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying to this man who wants to build bigger barns. Joy and peace and smooth sailing don't come from arriving at a destination. It comes from living in the kingdom now, trusting God now, being faithful now, practicing generosity now. Elsewhere in the Bible, Jesus tells us, don't worry about tomorrow, for it will bring problems of its own. Or when Jesus teaches his followers to pray, he teaches them to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Or in Psalm 118, we read, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. In other words, God is calling us again and again to be present, to pay attention, to see the grace that is right here. Because this day, this one, this is holy ground. God doesn't say someday, God says today. So what we need to find time to ask ourselves is, what are we rushing past that might actually be sacred? Or what conversations are we missing because we're so focused on the next big thing? Or what moments of worship or quiet or tenderness are we ignoring because we're so focused on the to-do list that we think we need to make? And here's the invitation to all of us. Don't wait for the perfect moment, or the dream job, or the kids to settle, or the calendar to open up, or the storms to pass. Jesus doesn't meet us at the finish line. He's running to meet us now. So today is where the kingdom is. Today is where grace can meet you. Today is where generosity can take root, and today is where joy can take hold. You don't have to arrive to begin. You don't have to finish to find fulfillment, and you don't have to be perfect to be present. Annie Dillard, the poet, once wrote, "How we spend our days is, of course, how we spend our lives." It's a poetic, piercing reminder to stop waiting for life to begin, because this day, this moment, this is your life. And if we're not careful, we'll spend our whole lives almost living. Amen.